future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host. Well, hold up. It's Thursday, which means one thing and one thing only. Handing it over to our co-host, Jess Holgrave. Like every other Thursday, she does not disappoint. She has an awesome show in store for you guys. She has Estella Bell on the show today, who is head of awesome content at none other than Pixios. That's right, the awesome dApp that's been getting a lot of recognition within the EOS community. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it over to the ladies. Take it away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jess Holgrave, and I'm really excited to be guest hosting on the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. I'm a co-founder of Shios, an EOS block producer with a mission to bring more women and diversity into blockchain. And on Thursdays for the next few weeks, I'll be bringing stories from interesting women working in the blockchain and crypto space to draw attention to the great work that they are doing. You can follow me on Twitter at Jessie Block and send me suggestions of women that you would like to hear from. This week, I am joined by Estella Bell, who is officially head of awesome content at Pixios, which is one of the coolest projects on EOS right now. But Estella Bell is an accomplished writer, artist, thinker, community builder. I think the list is so long. I'm so happy to have you on the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity. And I'm a big fan of yours too. So.
Well, Pixios is all about art and blockchain, and a lot of the work that you've done is around that, which is obviously so close to my heart. So I'm really, I can't wait to discuss some of this stuff with you today. Let's start maybe a little bit about your background. How did you, what's your story? How did you get into blockchain?
That's a great question. I have a great story about how it is a rabbit hole for sure. So I landed in the rabbit hole about, it was June 2016. And the reason that I did happen to stumble upon it was kind of interesting. Now, I did find out about Bitcoin in 2011. I posted it on Facebook, and I remember feeling that kind of like really serious intrigue about it. But I didn't buy any Bitcoin in 2011 because I was flat broke, zero. I didn't even have enough to buy like 5 Bitcoins, but I knew about it. It entered my consciousness in 2011. But it wasn't until 2016 when I was a tech writer for Interesting Engineering. And I was doing some research on this guy named Phileo Fish, and he was a programmer who had actually, he programmed a robot basically to do his job. And he was like coasting for 6 years and making like 100K. It was the craziest story. And I found it at like 4 a.m. So I don't know how I found it on Reddit, but I was hooked. I get hooked on stuff, and I trying to find another source for this story, because I was like, this is crazy. This guy is like making, you know, all this money and not doing anything at work because he already programmed a bot to do it for him. So I was searching like mad, like a mad woman on the internet, trying to find another source so I could actually, you know, write a story. I found a source, and the source was on Steemit. And this was the very beginning of Steemit. It had launched 4 months prior. So when I found Steemit, I noticed there was a little tag underneath that said, like, you know, this post is worth 32 cents or something. But I was like, what is this? Like, this is crazy. So the way that I came upon Steemit was finding, you know, it was like a little breadcrumbs. I went into Steem. Actually, Dan Larimer was like one of the first people to welcome me when I got into Steemit, because I was like number 11,000, and those accounts, you know, half of them were probably, you know, multiples, but so yeah. Less than 20,000 people on Steemit. There's probably roughly only a couple thousand when I entered. Dan was right there, of course, reprimanded me for not using the right tags or something, but, so I had, I was an early adopter of Steemit, And once I went into that rabbit hole and learned about blockchain, I mean, I went nuts. I couldn't sleep for weeks. It was crazy. It was like the awakenment. And I got into it at that point and I just never left. It was just absolutely nuts. I thought, this is the vortex, the hidden rabbit hole. I've been looking for this thing. And I'll never forget the first time I saw CoinMarketCap and I saw the multiple world, like all the different crypto worlds colliding, like listed on a thing. I was like, I was hooked. I thought, this is crazy. Why isn't this on the news?
That's amazing.
Of that.
And you started on Steam, you know, with a real attitude towards artists from the beginning, you know, tipping people and creating Slothicorn.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about Slothicorn. Also, I have one question that I've always wanted to know, which is why it's called Slothicorn.
Oh, God, how did it? I wanted something like a hybrid. I wanted a hybrid animal. And I thought, okay, so unicorn is always, you know, kind of associated with these types of projects and stuff. And I love the sloth. That's my favorite animal. Because the sloth is very, you know, very... I mean, little moss grows on it. I just love them. I have no idea why. Like, I would love to have a sloth. But anyway... so that was like the perfect combination of my personality as well, because there are times where I am just full of this incredible energy. And then the other time is like, I'm depressed as hell and I can't even move. So it's, in a way it's like my alter ego is all Slothicorn. Slothicorn was born in the bull market, and it had a very charitable aspect to it. I had to leave that project because of many reasons. I often build things and then I can't follow through because I'm not a business person, really. This is a plague of my life as a creative person, is that I create things and then I don't know how to manage them. And so really that's what happened with that, is that I needed a business partner to kind of direct it towards some kind of profitability, but that's not me, and I didn't have the business partner. So that's what happened with that. It was an experiment, and it taught me everything, all the fundamentals that are being reborn in Pixios, which is basically Pixios has all the elements I didn't have in Slothicorn. And so even though I didn't create Pixios, I came in after the core team had already, you know, developed it and founded it. It really does contain everything. It's a dream project because it relates to art, creativity, blockchain, and artists are the core element of it. I mean, gamers, of course, as well. So it's got everything all wrapped up in one project. But that's, I'm getting off topic a little bit. So if you want to chop that in half or something, that's fine.
No. So you're, after Slothicorn, you joined Pixios as head of awesome content, which is a great job title. How did Pixios start? Who's behind it, and what is it? What does it do?
It is. Let's start with the who of it first, because that's, for me, it's all about people. Now, I learned some harsh lessons with a couple other projects I worked with, which didn't pan out too well because the people were wrong. So, when I found Pixios in a Telegram chat channel, and I don't know how I found it, to be honest with you. It's just, I find these weird things because I'm an explorer in my heart. So I was immediately struck by this one characteristic of Fred, the CEO. He is extremely energetic and he responds to organic energy. And that, what I mean by that is that Pixios has already developed many things that came from within the community demand. For example, just for one example, the avatar maker was really made out of a demand for all these avatars, all the artists that were involved in it. We were all making these avatars for people that were demanding it, and it got to be unsustainable. So then the avatar maker was programmed, designed, and Fabi is a friend of mine from the Steam world, and she kind of followed me in. She told me, and she's like the lead. She's one of the lead designers now, and she designed the Voxy, the bot that welcomes you, and she's doing a ton of stuff. And I feel like I'm getting lost a little bit there. Fred is an art collector. This is what I wanted to instill in people's minds. He's got two dollies and a tangi. And he's a serious art collector, meaning he's art appreciator. He encourages artists. Like, that's his, like, one of the biggest things that stood out to me is that he already has a business running. It's an event management company. And I could tell immediately that, number one, he knows what a business needs, and he understands how to engage people and also direct their energy. This is a very rare talent to come across in any type of CEO. And he has those things that I lacked. It's like he can follow through with stuff where it's like I get lost, you know, because I'm finding new breadcrumbs all the time, you know, new things. And so it was like a lightning bolt thing just came down, because I was looking for an art project on EOS, but I wanted the people to be right. And when I realized all the elements were there, and I put him through a series of tests and he passed them all, I told him about it later. He had no idea. I do this now because of, you know, there's some sketchy people in crypto, right? But he's not one of them. He passed all the tests. He has a business, a real business going on already. And it's, you know, still going on. It's not like it's scrapped or anything. It's still going on. So that was it for me. I was like an art collector / businessman who understands the needs of this space and wants EOS to go mainstream. And yeah.
Well, I want to know more about your test, maybe after the podcast, but
maybe after. I mean, it sounds malicious or whatever when I said that, but it's just to make sure that the person respects me enough and that they're a good person. So I have ways to discover this now.
Yeah. You know, working with great people is why we're all here, and making sure that we're aligned philosophically with people that we work with is so important. I'm really interested in the fact that you wanted to build something specifically on EOS and that you were looking for that. Why EOS?
Well, basically Dan Larimer, I know him pretty well. I mean, personally, I was pretty good friends with him in the beginning of Steam, and I've been, you know, communicating with him and on and off. And there comes a time where I ask him questions about, you know, why is this project not going to work? It's like, he usually says, well, try fixing an engine of a moving car. So when I look at technical projects and look at really the basic stuff, speed, the ability to scale is the most number one thing that I am interested in. So I was in the CryptoKitties craze and I used Ethereum and all that stuff. I mean, Ethereum is good, but I can never go back once I experience the fast transactions and the ability to scale out. There's just nothing like speed. I mean, we're all used to very fast transactions in the regular world. So we need that. It's just a no-brainer. It's like step one, fast transactions. I'm sold.
Yeah.
Philosophically, though, I'm in the whole camp of, you know, let's sing Kumbaya and like totally change the whole internet. Like, let's digital sovereignty, like SenseChat and I'm all for that stuff. Like, there's no reason my data should be sold to Google. Like, I want to capture the value. It's mine. And so I feel very strongly about that aspect. Artists are one of, and the thing is, the reason that I'm focusing on artists, creative people, I was very poor for most of my adult life because of this one thing. I didn't understand how to capture my creative value, because artists, they get affected by inspiration more so than the average person. And this has been my problem, the curse, whatever. I didn't know how to form a business around that because it's just not in my wheelhouse. Like, and Pixios is going to create the tools for people like me who are creative but don't know how to capture their value, because setting up a business and doing all this technical stuff on, you know, doing a website and all that stuff is like, I don't know. There's something about people with maybe that are too humble that don't want to, you know, create their brand and sell their stuff. Like, you know, hey, buy my stuff. There's something kind of sleazy about that to me. And a lot of artists are like this. Like, they don't have managers. It's just them. And so I always wanted a tribe, a community of creative people where we can, you know, interact as a group and help each other. Like, that's the core thing for me. I need my tribe. And so this is it for me. I've never felt like this, really, that everything is right. Like, before, it was like a few things were correct and stuff was wrong. I was the leader and I wasn't a good business person. So there's always something wrong. But this team is like, we're older. Like, I'm way old. I've been around, you know? So it's like the same thing with Fred. Fred is older. The developers are older. We have experience. 20 years. Like, it's ridiculous how much experience combined in this team. This is unusual for a crypto team to have massive experience, life experience, right?
Yeah. And you can tell it when you paint on the canvas and when you interact with Pixios. You can tell that it's an experienced and very, very thoughtful team who've built this. And so for people who really don't know what it is, can you say in, like, 30 seconds what Pixios actually does?
Okay. So Pixios right now, many people think, oh, it's just a pixel game. No, that is the very first game which is on, which the Pixios team has created. There's about 7 other components that are currently being built. Okay, so the next big thing that's happening very soon, actually, is the My Pixios shop. And artists can already come in, join in, and get in on that, which basically what it is, it's an integration with Threadless.com, which is a very cutting-edge online print-on-demand shop, online shop. So you get your designs onto a cup, a t-shirt, you know, shower curtains, whatever. That's coming, and artists can already start earning income from that. They get, you know, a very good percentage of the profits from that. That is set up to drive mainstream adoption of EOS, because really, if you look at the core of what Pixios' goal is, to drive mainstream adoption of EOS. And that's at its core. So the next thing after that, the huge thing, is DGoods standard, which is going to be the NFT non-fungible token standard for the entire EOS ecosystem. That's the next huge thing coming. We are dependent on the DGoods roadmap. We're also a core contributor and developer of the DGoods standard. That's happening in late April and May. So once the DGoods standard has been tested and it's been perfected, then we're going to adopt that. We will be creating NFTs. The artists then will have the ability to create NFTs after they pass the Know Your Artist phase of it. So we'll be doing that manually, which is KYA. So we're going to be checking to make sure that people are who they say they are.
Yes, yeah,
it has to be. It has to be very strict. So we are getting that set up right now, the whole roadmap. So the NFTs will change the whole ecosystem of EOS, because our Pixel game, this is a, by the way, no one knows about this bit. This is a SVK crypto podcast only exclusive. There's a 3D component. We've actually already turned the Pixel game into 3D. And there is going to be a gamified aspect of it. So the owners of, say, the Center Pixel that think that, oh, the game is over. No, it's not over. Pixios is a rapidly organic development. We're in development of that right now. So it's going to be awesome. People have no clue. They're, you know what I mean? It's just like everyone thinks, oh, cool, a cute Pixel game. No, it's turning into something else, because those owners of the Pixels, that's the beauty of the blockchain. The people that own those Pixels, we know that they own them and they can be transformed into a 3D city, and it can take on a new game of its own. So this is the genius behind the team, is that organic. It's an organic team, which is basically means that one idea can sprout in someone's comment, and then Fred will go with it. And he's gone with a lot of Fabby's ideas as well. I mean, it's like we're finally in the right element where our ideas can spring to life. That's what life should be about. That's my perception of it. There's also the auction house, which is the NFTs will go up for auction and the highest bidder will win. And then there's also this thing called the art house. That's where people will be able to go into the art house and hire creatives for their projects. So if you're like a developer on EOS and you don't have a creative team, you know, you're starting up, you need maybe creative resources. You'll go into the art house, and that will be a freelance thing that's in between those parties. That's how I have it set up in my mind. So we're not like, you know, we're not managing that. It's like a cool water cooler where you,
you can come and meet people. I love it. So it's really an all-encompassing platform for people to create, to sell work, to buy work, to engage.
And there's going to be collectors, and they can probably earn, if they buy the right art. There's a famous artist yet to be discovered. I am going to start buying his art, and he's a friend of mine. He needs his art NFTIs so I can start collecting it. Because his stuff, I'm telling you, I have a good eye for this. It's amazing stuff that is unique in the space of all art. I'm putting him up against all the other artists. Like, I mean, it's hard to find a unique original voice, right?
It certainly is. Well, you can tell me who he is after the show as well.
Well, he's part of the team in Pixios. His name's Usaimon. His art is amazing. It's amazing. And his stuff will be in the My Pixios shop. And, you know, I'm going to start buying that up just because I love it. And this brings us to this next topic. People will be asking the question, why would you buy digital art? I'm going to write about this because I've thought about long and hard about this question. Okay, ready. Everyone just grip your chairs right now, because this is what I think is happening. The other digital revolutions that happened, you know, like you never used to buy stuff on the internet, right? Well, we buy stuff on the internet every day. So that's that over and done with. The next phase is going to be about, you don't go to the art gallery, buy a artist's work and put it on your wall. You will be supporting artists and basically helping them to eat, because you want to share the fact that you are an owner or a part owner of that artist's work. It's a status thing, and it's also part of the sharing economy, which is that has a digital component to it. So it's like we're entering a next phase of people are going to want to be a part of the artist's world, and the artists are going to have these people that, you know, they found them through the internet, and there's no way they would be able to find them in real life. And then, so those people that appreciate creatives and how they operate, a lot of the true artists, I'm not talking about like, you know, graphic designers necessarily who are business oriented. I'm talking about like the true artists who, like, for days they get absorbed with something that has affected them. It's a strange phenomenon that is hard, I think, for people to understand. It's almost like it takes over your body and mind for days or weeks sometimes with some people. So these people, I think, are going to be more known, and people will want to be a part of that. That's my naive kind of optimistic side.
I think it's so true. You know, I think there are a lot of people out there who have a huge amount of interest and love for art and for creativity, but often they don't know how to engage with it because they don't have the money to go and buy a, you know, $5,000 painting from someone.
Right.
But given the opportunity to engage with artists in a meaningful way and feel like that they're contributing, even if it's buying like a $10, you know, digital NFT that someone has produced, it gives people a real feeling of involvement and of contribution to the arts, and enables them to kind of enjoy the aesthetics of owning a piece as well. So I think that your vision is spot on.
Yeah, so it makes it accessible, right? Accessible art ownership. It decentralizes the whole process, whereas before it was just all the middlemen coming in between. And I think a lot of the art world, if you really start thinking about it, who says what is good? Because, I mean, it's like my vision of what's good might be, like, isn't that the real vision of what's good? I mean, who says? It's just so strange if you start thinking about why certain artists get famous and some don't. Isn't that strange to think about that? Because talent has rarely. What? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, who's a tastemaker, you know, and yes. I think talent sometimes doesn't line up with what's in vogue at the moment, and decentralizing that and giving the people to, you know, the chance to reach consensus on what they like and what is talent, and I think is so exciting.
Yeah. Now there will be an NFT gallery that will be curated, because the Pixie House team is very much into understanding how marketing works. So that will be a curated once you first see it. So it's like the front splash page is going to be curated. Thank God. Thank God we have that. But then the later stage of development is that we want it to be a decentralized place where people, artists, can create their own space that is curated in the way that they want. Because I was talking to Jason Bailey of Art Gnome, and he was telling me that that's probably the next blockchain 3.0 moment in the art world, is that artists want control over what painting is next to theirs. And so that's also in the roadmap. There's so many cool things in the Pixie House roadmap. It's like I almost lose my mind over it. Oh, another cool thing, we're going to build an API for the avatar maker. So the big EOS projects, the dApps that are in EOS, will be able to use our API so that people, when they want to make a new avatar in, like, you know, a messaging app or something, they can just do it within the app. They'll never have to go to Pixie House. So we're working with a lot of the other projects and just integrating We're about integration, really.
I love that. And I love the avatar maker so much. You know, I think Pixios is one of the coolest projects, and anybody listening who hasn't kind of engaged with it yet absolutely must go and do that. To move away though a little bit from Pixios, one of the things that we talked a little bit about earlier was philanthropy, how we can use blockchain as a tool. What's your vision for a kind of a blockchain-enabled philanthropic world?
I still think that we're a little far away from that vision. I'm thinking of the whales and what goes on in the mind of whales. I think that the way that we can do this is, I want to bring up this one project that I'm really excited about. It's called Empower Me EOS, and it's run by a friend named Toju Kaka. That one is awesome because it's philanthropy at its finest. You pay EOS enough to buy a smartphone and internet connection for 3 months to a youth in Africa, and it's, I believe, Nigeria. And then the program is run by Toju Kaka, who acts, it's like a school. So, you know, all the blockchain, it's wonderful, all the technology, but if you don't have a phone or internet, then it's not going to do any good. So he realized that that's what's needed. I feel like the phone plus the internet is it. So basically, and getting the education and the tools so that they can recognize, you know, and get educated in the space. So I'd like to see more things like that crop up where the people that are, I think, understand the needs of their people, they get the support from the whales. Because we need to have the culture. This is the one thing that needs to change. We need that tribal culture of the kings and queens of the tribe are the ones who give the most. That is the gift economy at its finest. That I don't really see. Brock Pierce and Crystal Rose are kind of, I think they represent that culture. That needs to be the dominant force within all the crypto spaces, is that the whales are the ones who give the most. They have the most, but they get status because they also are the ones that affect mass change, you know, in a way. And they give a lot. So I guess that's my feeling about it. We'll have to evolve as a species to recognize that the givers are actually the true leaders.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. The gift economy. I also just before speaking with you on the podcast, I was Googling you, and I noticed that in 2015 you wrote a book called Uncrap Your Life, and I've just bought it, which I can't wait to read.
Oh my god! Thank you.
So nice. You know, what made you write it, and why should other people read it?
Oh god. Okay, the reason people should read that book is because that was the moment where my life was like on the edge, and I had to make a decision. Do I want to work under a boss for the rest of my life, or do I want to make the leap into finding my own path, which is much scarier? But that book came about because I had 4 interviews with it was a lucrative job. It wasn't, you know, earth shattering, but it was a decent job. And I didn't get hired. And it was because the hiring manager was like in her 20s, and she probably just wanted her friend to get hired or whatever. But it was a soul crushing moment of my life where I was like the best candidate. And the secretary that had been dealing with me for months, because I got 4 interviews at this company, she called me and she said, she goes, I'm so sorry. I have no idea why you didn't get selected. Like, she felt so guilty for the hiring manager, what they did to me or whatever, you know, they didn't hire me. And it was one of those moments that I said, okay, I'm writing my book. This is the final straw. And I'd been wanting to write a book for a while, but it's just a frightening thing to do, to put everything out there on the internet. So what I did from that moment on, I was like, I had to confront who I was, what my flaws were, my worst situations that I had gotten out of in my entire life. Because I had to look at my whole personality and confront it. And that's why I wrote that book. It details what I would consider, you know, the kind of some worst case scenario life situations. It details how I got out of each one of those. So I often looked at my life in terms of just feeling trapped. And I think a lot of people do feel trapped in a job, 9-to-5 job that they hate. That was where I existed for many, many years. I knew I hated my jobs. The reason I hated it is because I have a creative mind that wants to be free. And I think that a lot of people can relate to this. They're doing stuff that it's like routine. Machines are meant to do these routine jobs. Humans are meant to create and you know, see changes occur in their environment because of their inspiration and things like this. This is how humans were made, I believe this. And machines are made to do the routine crap that humans have already learned. We're meant to be learning new things and applying that new knowledge. So that was the source of my pain throughout much of my life. I hated a job once I figured it out, because I want to be exploring new territories and new ideas and creating stuff. So that was, for me, it's creativity in a way, like, save my ass, because I just never turned away from it. It's like the little thing that whispers to you, you know, and it's like, it's telling you, it's like an itch, and you have to itch the creative thing and go with what's coming from inside of you. That's the secret everyone talks about. Anyway, that was the secret for me.
Well, my next question was going to be, if you have advice for women, particularly who are wanting to get into the blockchain space. It sounds like they should firstly read your book and uncrack their lives so that they can take the plunge. But is there anything else that you would say to women who are, you know, wanting to enter the blockchain space and work in it, who maybe, you know, haven't got that courage yet to take the plunge?
Yes. Okay. First thing, know thyself, your strengths, your weaknesses, because then you can, you know, and what your passion is, what's your passion? Start there, because then it will direct you towards whatever the project is, because really the crypto world is full of like companies, lots of startups. You know, are you a starter? Can you take on the CEO role? Are you good with finance? Because a lot of these startups, they need people. They need expert communicators. Like, I would encourage anyone with any kind of skills to get involved in EOS, because I feel like the culture is so much better there than a lot of other crypto spaces. For example, like, I mean, if I get any crap from anyone, I basically just throw it in their face and say F you. You know, like, I don't take any shit from anyone. So you can leave the word in there. I really don't, because I've been through a lot. I used to work in a car dealership with all men, and I got so used to that that it's just hard for anyone to, you know, affect me now. If I do run into something I feel sad or upset about, I literally just throw it in their face, and I'm kind of aggressive about it, because I don't take shit from anyone. That's just how I operate now. And it took me a long time. I was a wallflower for most of my life. And I think all those years of being shy, observant, quiet, and, you know, kind of, I guess, intellectual in some ways is just, you know, it's coming full circle. I just realize I have to, you know, get in there with everyone else and get scrappy. And that's kind of what guides my actions more than anything else. And I would say my purpose. See, that's the thing that's different about me is that my purpose is to make the world more creative and to allow people, adults that don't think they're creative, to explore themselves. And it's like everyone. So my goal is a universal thing. Just, I feel like the world is way too dull and it needs to be reimagined with creativity at the helm. Like, creative people
working with technology. I'm with you there.
What?
I'm with you there.
It's just, God, why is it so boring? You know, like you look at the way everything is set up. I'm sorry, but I have a different vision than the way things are set up. And I believe that the Willy Wonka chocolate factory is real. It's not an imagination thing. It's these things can be made real if we only believe in it. You know, let's, you know, basically everyone needs to look at themselves, know themselves, and figure out, what is it you want to change in the world? Like, that's the hardest question. So for women, I think it's just a lack of, I've been thinking a lot about this recently. It's being afraid because a lot of these spaces are male dominated. I think that's a big problem for in our minds. But think of it like this, you know, if you go into these spaces, you can be the leader and you can help everyone in that group. And so it doesn't matter if it's mostly men in the group, like you can still be the expert communicator and be teaching. And so I have a different perspective on that. Is that, well, yeah.
I think that's great advice. And I think, you know, you talked about your vision and you are certainly a visionary in the space. And I advise anybody at home who is listening to follow and keep up with what you're doing, because you always seem to be right on the cutting edge. I always finish with a quick fire of questions. Okay. So are you a late night person or an early morning person?
Late night, for sure.
If you were an animal, what would you be? Maybe you answered this. We'd be a slothicorn.
Yeah, I think it's a slothicorn. It's like I've got really sharp, razor sharp claws, okay? I might be slow and you don't know, you know, who you're dealing with, but I'll those claws are coming out. Like, watch out.
I love it.
but I have moss. I've got moss growing on my coat because I've been thinking. I've been on the sidelines for most of my life thinking. So, and reading. I'm an avid reader. I read constantly. It's almost an absurd addiction at this point.
Who is your, so talking of reading, who's your best person to follow on crypto Twitter?
Oh, I love Neeraj. Oh my God, this guy. I got to get his, here, let me get his handle. This guy, I love humor. I love dark humor and, you know, kind of intellectual humor where, okay, so do you know who I'm talking about?
I do, because you're not the first person to say that on this show. I follow him too, and he is, he's great.
I have to do my password. Oh crap.
It's Neeraj Agarwal.
Yes. That's him.
Yeah. He's great. I'll put his handle in the message for this show. So Stella, thank you so much for joining us today. How can people find you on Twitter and follow you if they want to?
So it's at Stella Bell, that's StellaBelle. And everyone's free to come in, you know, to the Pixios Telegram channel. That's where I am mostly. So like, don't feel shy or anything. Come on in. And I can welcome you and kind of show you the ropes. And if you have questions, you know, ask away, because I'm there a lot. And I'm developing a lot of the tutorials for Pixios. So I'm doing all the tech stuff with helping people learn how to set up their wallets and all that kind of stuff. So that's another big part of what I'm doing, is kind of like helping the noobs. There's tons, and that Telegram channel, there's so much help. I've never worked with a team that is so active, and we give free EOS accounts to new users. So you come into the Telegram and you say like, I need a code to set up a new EOS account. We'll give you the code. You use Token Pocket. You don't have to pay for your EOS account. This is one of the beautiful things about our project. We believe in giving free EOS accounts to all of our users and all of our community people that want to get involved with it. We have a certain amount that's devoted to that, funds. So that's amazing. a firm commitment, belief in create and having free EOS accounts.
Mm-hmm. Well, so yeah, that's hugely valuable to the community. And I hope that anybody listening at home will go and join that Telegram channel and get involved with Pixios as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
I want to say a big thank you to Jess and, of course, Estella Bell for being an awesome guest on the show today. I think it was one of the most explosive and interesting interviews we've had. I think we covered many different topics, many different areas, relationships that Estella Bell had with Dan Larimer. I had no idea. So big shout out to both of them for doing such an amazing job. If you haven't already subscribed to the SVK Crypto podcast, you know it makes sense. It's easy to do and it makes us all smile here at SVK HQ here in London town. With that in mind, that's a wrap. We've got to bounce. Thank you so much for your time and attention as always. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at SVK_crypto. Hit us up on Telegram where we're all active daily. And you can hit us up on there, which is SVK Crowd. If you type that in, you will find us. Thank you so much, as always, for the attention. And remember, if you enjoyed today's show, to give it a nice comment. With that in mind, that's a wrap, and we've got to bounce.